Okay, good morning. Welcome to our Bible study this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 here in just a few moments. We've been discussing in this quarter, we're talking about characteristics of the Christian. Last quarter, we talked about characteristics of the church. And we begin a couple classes on the fact that when a person becomes a Christian, change is necessary. Change is inevitable. Jesus demands it. For some folks, maybe the change in their lifestyle and in their speech and their habits and conduct, it may not be a big change for some. But nonetheless, a change is required. Because if we were okay in the condition that we were in before we become a Christian, there had been no need for the death of Christ. But Jesus, the Bible says, tasted death for every man. And because every man needs renewed, we talked about that, needs restored to the original spiritual condition that they were when they were innocent. They need restored to that, and they need an avenue by which they can approach God and stay in a relationship with Him. And that avenue is Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." And so the relationship begins coming to God through Christ, appealing to Him upon the obedience of the gospel. And it continues, the relationship with God continues on the basis or through the mediator of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." And so that's the basis for... So bringing our lives into conformity with Christ, with his characteristics, is what this class is about. And we're going to begin with a prayer, and Andrew's going to lead us. Please.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can gather together to open your word and to talk about it with one another, trying to extract truth out of it, Father. We pray that we do so with open hearts this morning. We pray that we apply what we can learn to our lives in a way that can affect the world, that can bring others to you, and most importantly, Father, to secure heaven for ourselves. We know that you want everyone there, and Father, once we have been baptized and have come to the truth, you never want us to fall away. And we pray that we hold each other accountable and that this class will be profitable for us all. We are grateful for Mark and the rest of the teachers of this class. We ask that you give them continual courage and continual understanding and in a way that they can present it so that we can learn effectively. Father, we are so grateful for times like this that we can gather. We're thankful for the command to do so. That gives us the opportunity to open the Word in hours like this. We pray that you be with all those that can't be here today, that are not only in this class, but in the congregation here. We pray that you watch over them, bring them back as quick as possible. We're so thankful for our lives and our relationship with you that it gives us the opportunity to speak with you now. And we know that this was made possible through Jesus. We pray we will never forget this and that we always live our lives accordingly and an understanding that he went through a cruel, hurtful death, and you had to watch that in order to allow this opportunity for us to exist with you forever. For all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. I think the hardest thing to bring a person to do when I teach them the gospel is, by and large, is repentance. That's to change. Again, I'll say, That's harder for some than others because some have a lot farther to go in the matter of repentance. When we make a commitment to God, we're going to become a Christian, we appeal to Him in good conscience to be forgiven of our sins and have that done by His blood when we're baptized. You know, you've probably heard me say this many times. When we make a choice to become a Christian, we made a lot of other choices that we don't understand right then and there. When we become a Christian, at that point, we have supposed to have surrendered to God, to Christ. And on that basis, as our journey of faith begins, we're going to be confronted with all kinds of decisions. We're going to have to make decisions that we didn't know we were going to have to make. And the mindset we have to have, as we've already pointed out, and we'll look at it again, it's going to underscore every one of these things that we talk about, and it's thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's the attitude of Jesus. And so, I said we were going to talk about self-denial. And so, in our text in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father, of His Father, with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." You know, we talk about, you'll hear us quote in sermons and Bible classes and arrangements like this about, you know, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. Well, you know, the context of that statement that Jesus makes is in the context of denying yourself. In denying yourself. And in this case, I think it's whatever may be in the world that would stand between you and God. It's not that it is inherently wrong to accumulate this world's goods. It's not that it's wrong if you inherited the whole world. But to the extent that that impedes or takes away from your service to God, it will be wrong. It can be wrong. So, you know, I think there's some questions that this verse begs, you know. It begs the question, you know, first of all, do I consider myself a follower of Christ? And then if I do, I say yes, I'm sure all in here would, then it begs the question, you know, what kind of follower am I? Am I an individual that at any cost, and I don't mean that from a monetary standpoint, am I the kind of person that at any cost I am going to serve my Savior? Or am I somewhere back? Do I have a line that I won't cross? Will I only go so far with Him with regard to my will? In this text, there are three attractions. Actually, there's four. I thought about that after I got this PowerPoint done. There's actually four. The first one is desire. Okay, the first attraction to me in this text, Jesus says, if anyone desires, and I'm reading from the King James, if anyone desires, that's the first one. The second one is self-denial. I said early in the first class of this quarter, that, you know, there are just some things that the Lord demands that personally are not just intuitive things that I do. I think intuitively in my non-religious growing up, for example, you know, you learn to be courteous, you learn to be polite, you learn to respect other people, this, that, and the other, but I didn't get taught self-denial. Now, maybe many of you did. I don't think by and large the world and the people I see outside of my friends here, I don't think they have any clue about this concept. Not very many of them. I don't know about you. But self-denial is what Jesus is talking to me. If anyone desires, so Jesus is saying to these people, you want to come after me? Okay. You got to put yourself second, third, fourth. You got to put yourself down the line. Okay. Next thing that's in this is the cross. Okay? Take up his cross. You know, in our common language today, that would be like someone saying, hey, you want to do this? I'll tell you what. Let's get your lethal injection ready. Take up your electric chair and follow after me. A cross wasn't a nice gold emblem that people wore in jewelry in the first century. A cross represented execution, a horrible way to be executed. It represented crime. That's what happened to guilty people, and I'm sure a lot of innocent ones, like our Lord too. But so, you know, the idea of that is taking up your cross. That's what you were doing just before you were going to die. Jesus is saying, this means you could die for me. You know, Jesus said it like this: the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Oh yeah, you want to follow after me? Take up your cross. We're going to die. We're going to die. Come go with me. And you know, there's people in the last few years who have been able to excite and be able to stir people to follow some human leader, even to the point of death. You know, cult type following. Jesus is saying, that's what you need to do. The fourth thing, is complete surrender. That just doesn't come easy for us to think about. I don't think so. And so, the question then out of this verse, Jesus talking to us there through this verse, just like he did to those of the first century, you know, what kind of follower am I? To what extent will I deny myself? How about this question? What have I denied myself of to serve Jesus? Just what have I done? That's a question I ask myself, you know, in studying this, and I think it's a question you need to ask yourself. I mean, you know, we talk about counting our blessings. Sit down and make a list of the things you deny yourself of to serve Jesus. And I think some Christians, as evidenced by their actions, their conduct, they don't either fully understand this passage, they don't think it applies to them, or they're just ignoring it because they're self-consumed. You see, being self-consumed is antagonistic to being a follower of Jesus. Okay? Polar opposites. The first thing we need to understand is self-denial is not self-destruction. Jesus was the epitome of self-denial. Did he self-destruct? Well, not like we might think it is. You know, Jesus wasn't worried about self-preservation to its greatest degree. If Jesus had been as concerned with self-preservation as I probably am, he wouldn't have went to the cross. He said he could call down angels. He could have circumvented that, I guess, had he decided to exercise his own will. But that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted the Father's will. What do you need, God? Thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. Jesus' life was characterized by not my will, thy will be done. And when Jesus done that, he was exalted at the end. You see, and that's the thing that we can't see the end from the beginning like God does, like Jesus does. We have to trust Him that if we do what we're supposed to here and now, that it'll all work out, and when the end comes, we'll be glorified as He was. We'll be exalted, you know. The Bible talks about not being deceived because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, then we reap everlasting life. So Jesus, if anybody had to be concerned about self-denial being self-destruction, it would have been Jesus. He was doing everything. I think he was doing everything he'd done in full view, predicting his death over, alluding to his death over and over and over. He knew his physical end was going to come because because of who he was and the fact that he was denying himself. Well, you know, we can all sit here and say, well, I know my physical end is going to come. We're all well aware of death, the inevitability of death and taxes, okay, as we say. But, and it's not likely that today, where we're living, that we'll be called upon to make a choice between self-preservation, our own life, and confessing Christ and serving Him. Probably not here today. In places of the world today, it's happening, and people are having their heads cut off because of their belief in Christ. So, self-denial is not self-destruction. When we talk about the importance of self-denial, let's look at this verse, another kind of a parallel passage to the one we looked at in Matthew. Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Okay? So Luke's account puts on just a little bit different, adds just a little bit different nuance to this. It's a daily self-denial. Oh, now that really makes me think, what have I denied myself of today to serve Jesus? Okay? It's not an occasional act. It's a foundation stone of Christian existence. You know, we like prayer should be a foundation stone and a daily exercise for the Christian. Self-denial. I don't think we get up in the morning and say, okay, you know, I'm going to pray and I'm going to do this. And today, for example, I'm going to worship. And let me see, what can I find to deny myself of? I don't think that's the mentality that the Lord is looking here for. I think what He's looking for is, as the day unfolds, the Lord is looking for the individual that when the opportunity comes to serve Him at the expense of myself, I'll do it. Maybe challenged by that today. Maybe challenged more than once by that today. Every day is different. And so, again, what daily denial do I make of myself to serve the Lord? If a person wants to follow Jesus, and that's what's under consideration here, that's what we're trying to apply this to ourselves. We want to be a follower of Jesus. We want to be a disciple. In other words, a learner of Jesus. And we're going to be this individual with that. We have to fit our mindset to the Lord. We're not fit for Jesus' use unless we've fitted our mind and our attitude to this concept of self-denial. That should characterize the Christian. You know, another passage in Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." You know, there's no way a person can be holy and not deny themselves. No way. If we're going to be holy, God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And here He says, "Without holiness, you cannot see the Lord." We at least have to deny what interferes with being holy. Now, I know we all here, we try to be holy. But I mean, are there any interferences daily to doing that? There sure are. There are people who present circumstances in our life that may challenge our pursuit of holiness. There are not just people, but there are influences around us that try to detract from our pursuit of holiness. You know, if we don't have to, I mean, people immediately think of self-denial as, you know, denying themselves of these sinful things. And make no mistake, those are things you have to deny too. But self-denial is not just limited to the evil things that you might have to put aside or do without or whatever to serve God. There's denial that's going to be necessary to do that. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father." It may not be what you have to deny yourself of to please God from a standpoint of purity. It may be what you need to It may be what I need to, something in my life, my time, my resources for myself that I need to set aside so I can do the will of the Father. See? So, don't just look for the things that might be amiss in my life with regard to sin or pride or whatever it might be where I can enhance my self-denial. Okay? Look at some of the things I may need to deny myself of that are perfectly well and fine within themselves, but I need to get rid of themselves, those things, so I can make more time to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay? See, I think this is, just in my humble opinion, you can disagree and I still love you, I think this is the hardest aspect of becoming and remaining a faithful child of God, is to say no to myself. That's not intuitive, at least personally, in my nature. But I'm learning and I'm working on it. Josh, back here, please. Andrew. Remember, love to have you make a comment. We need to get the mic to you so everyone in the class can hear.
The rich young ruler personifies what we're going through with this really well. He could not deny himself of things that otherwise weren't, like you said, sinful, but were distractions from what following Christ truly meant.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the rich farmer in regard to that too. He had an eye problem. What we need to do, I mean, obviously when a person wants to be a follower of Jesus, they have to excise. They have to cut off the things, obviously, that detract from holiness, pursuing holiness and righteousness and goodness, moral things. But it goes beyond that. Most of Christianity's enemies, okay? Most of Christianity's enemies are from within here today in America in 2014. They're from within. And you know who they're within? They're within Mark. Okay? They're within Mark. They're within you. Okay? In 1 John chapter 2, you know the passage in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the sinful, boastful pride of life. And so, this idea of the pride of life in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2, pride is a big thing that stands in the way between a person wanting to follow Christ and the extent to which he's willing to do that. To the extent we get rid of our pride and arrogance, and then that will allow us, or that will tune us in to self-denial and pleasing the Lord. Josh talked about the rich young ruler. In Luke chapter 12, turn with me to verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And you remember this character. You know, by today's standard, he didn't have a problem in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16 beginning. Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, since I have no room for my crops?" Okay, he's got himself right here in the forefront of this, okay? I've had a bumper crop. What am I going to do? So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store up my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then, who will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and, okay, see that? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Okay? That's what self-denial is in this case. I'm not appealing to your wallets in this. I'm appealing to the principle. Okay? The principle. We may not be rich by, you may not think you're rich by the standards of those you're around. You may not think, well, you know, since I'm not rich, this may not apply to me. Riches is relative. Riches, that's all relative, both culturally, but more importantly, riches are relative right here in my mind. Okay. So what Jesus, the fault Jesus found with this person is he was looking out for number one. He was looking out at number one, and he wouldn't deny himself a year or two of goods that he could give to God. You see, he's going to keep it all for himself. He's going to look out for himself. And there's not one ounce, one fiber of self-denial in the being of this person. And that's much like the one talent man. That's like the rich young ruler that Josh mentioned. That he was not going to deny himself completely. Would he keep some of the commandments? He said, I've kept them all through from my youth. The rich young ruler did. Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't say, you're lying. He did keep all those things. He did do what was right. Where did he come short? Well, you know the rest of that story. Christianity's enemies are within. This fellow had the me syndrome. Big I syndrome. Talking about himself. And He was condemned for it. Here's an Old Testament passage that says the same thing. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, you know, there's this universal need that we all must have. We must have pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. It's amazing how I put myself in this, it's amazing how we can sometimes condition ourselves that because I like it, God should like it. Okay? I mean, the rich farmer, okay? Let's put him in this picture. The rich farmer thought, I've got this, I've got that, and I've got all this stuff. God should be proud of me for how I worked, and I'm just going to keep it and live on it at the expense of the Lord. We condition ourselves the same way if we're not careful. We want something. We like something. It may not in and of itself be wrong, but it somehow compromises the denial of ourself that we need to be making to follow Jesus. And pretty soon we're just so, ever so slowly, just sucked away from the level of commitment and self-denial that the Lord requires. Any thoughts? Anybody got a comment want to make? Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about this, but we ask ourselves, you know, the question. You know, deny ourselves of what? What is really self-denial? What's another word or phrase you'd use for self-denial? Sacrifice? That's a good word. Really, I wasn't going to develop that much. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? What was the difference between the woman who was put two coins in the treasury and all those other people who were Jesus saw putting into the treasury that were putting in out of their abundance? What was the difference in the two? Commitment. And she made a sacrifice. Okay, that's the difference. She didn't just give like we said. She said, like we say, she gave to it hurt. She's like the people of Macedonia, wasn't it, in 2 Corinthians? They gave out of their poverty. Okay? That's what sacrifice is. That's a good word. Here's another thing that I think self-denial is. Self-denial is self-control. Self-denial is self-control. What Jesus demands in self-denial, and what he demands in a lot of other characteristics we're going to talk about, he demands self-control. Get a hold of yourself. Something's got a hold of you. What is it? Okay, that's really what it is. Something's got a hold of every one of us. And I've heard somebody say, you know, the devil wants you and the Lord wants you and you get to cast the tie-breaking vote. You get a cast of vote that makes the tie. And it comes down to self-control. Do I have control of my mind? Okay, we talked about that. It has to happen first. We have to renew our mind. To Josh's word about sacrifice, in that same passage we talked about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, proving what the good and acceptable will of the Lord is, and that's our reasonable service. It's reasonable for God to expect that. We're talking about self-control. In 2 Peter chapter 1, is that on there? 2 Peter chapter 1, yeah. In verse 5, he says, "For this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." We're going to be talking about some other points in that in these lessons to days to come. Self-control's in there. Really, the whole giving diligence to these things, as he introduces that thought, giving diligence to all those things comes under self-control. It comes down to the point where I comprehend, I know what I'm supposed to do, I have the willpower to do it, and I control myself in the effort to do that. That's where I'm going to exercise my energy. That's where I'm going to focus. I'm going to think about what I do on a daily basis to bring myself into conformity with the will of Christ, because I'm a follower of Christ. And to do so, I have to deny myself. What are some things? Deny ourselves of what? Well, in the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, depending on how you want to look at that, Luke chapter 8, the ones that fell, that's the seed, the Word of God, that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Okay? Other things. Okay? What do we need to deny ourselves of? When other things choke out, strangle, put the stranglehold on us, like those constrictor-type snakes you see that they don't poison their prey. They just wrap themselves around it and they just squeeze the life out of it. Okay, that's what's talked about here. That's what happens to your garden if you don't pull the weeds out of it. You know, it's amazing how much better the weeds can always do than the crop in gardens I've grown. In drought years, my corn suffered, but the Johnson grass and the weeds just thrived. Okay? The point is, Jesus is making in this, there's different types of people in different conditions. Those are representative of the soil. There's the person who takes in the Word of God. And they repent and they're headlong into going, but pretty soon, before they know, the vines and the weeds are tangled up around them. And they have a choice. Some circumstances they are in that they can't get out of, or that they're predispositioned to get into. It's something they've allowed themselves to get in, and they're going to have to take themselves out of it. That's denying yourself. I'll never forget a gospel preacher, and I'm not going to say his name. He's old. He'd be 100 if he's living, but you'd know his name. I think he's distantly related to some people here, maybe in this room. One time we were talking about the wood shop, because I've always tinkered in that a little bit on the side. He was a preacher, and he said he told me this 30 years ago. He had a wood shop in his garage, and he said, pretty soon I realized, you know, I really wasn't putting my time in my Bible study and my sermon preparation. He said, I was easing out in the garage. He said, I was spending too much time in the garage doing woodworking. He said, you know what I did? I sold all the woodworking equipment. And that story always stuck with me. He realized, in this case, it was something that was not wrong in and of itself, but he didn't have as good a handle on it as he wanted, so he's going to just deny himself that so he could be a follower of Jesus. Okay. And you can fill in the blank in your life of the things that compete, the various things that are in your life, in your families, all these things that compete for your time and resources to serve the Lord. Some of them we just have to say no to. And we just have to say, I can't go there. They're good. And prioritizing life, you know, prioritizing our lives is a big challenge. It's a lot easier, though, when we just strip ourselves of some things. And that way we don't have so many things to try to pigeonhole in the list. And the Lord needs to be at the top of the list. Another thing is excess pleasure. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, You want to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about, that's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Well, there's a whole list of people here, verses 1 through 5, that will come in the perilous times will come. Men who are lovers of themselves, okay? Lovers of money, boasters on down through there, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, in verse 3. Brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, some of those things listed in the list are wrong. They're wrong in and of themselves. Being a lover of pleasure in and of itself is not wrong. It depends on what the pleasure is. It depends on what the circumstances are. But we can become so wrapped up in things that are pleasureful, things we enjoy, that we have crowded the Lord out of our life to an extent He's unhappy with. He would be unhappy with that. And that's where the daily denial of Jesus comes in. Here's another thing I think is a good question, you know. When we really get down to our core person, our core being, what do we live for? Who do we live for? You know, we really get our mind, if we can really get that in our mind, fixed in our mind good, then some of these things about what we need to deny ourselves of, they become a little bit easier. We can at least understand why we need to do it. Some people don't understand the need for that kind of self-control. In Philippians 2, verse 4, it says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest," okay? Not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Intuitive? Well, you know, if it's my kids, I can do that. It's my grandkids, I can do that. My wife, you know, some of those, you all, some people in my close circle, these folks here. But I tell you, you get beyond my inner circle of friends and the church and things like that. Looking out for others is not as easy. I don't think it's as easy as looking out for myself. Okay. I don't think it's as easy. I wouldn't want to say I'm a selfish person, but I can do that easier than I can be selfless. You know, water takes the course of least resistance. Yeah, there's a lot less resistance in serving myself and serving myself rather than serving others. Self-denial is self-mastery. I'll tell you, you know, Solomon said of the book, of the making of books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Ecclesiastes 12 and 11. And then he says, you know, verse 12 and 13 says, to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. The idea is there's all kinds of books to help you learn self-mastery, to learn self-control. Go to the Barnes & Noble or whatever and go to the looking for the self-help section. Rows and rows and rows of books telling you how to master yourself. I'll tell you, friends, save yourself a lot of time and money and dust off this book right here and study and look at the cross of Christ. Go to Calvary. Go to Calvary and see what took place there in the attitude of the one who died between two thieves and the requirements and the advice and the love that he shows in the inspired New Testament, and you can save yourself money about self-help and self-mastery. The Lord is the master teacher with regard to self-mastery. And He can be because He has the sovereign right to do that because He has all power and all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Okay. Is it easy? No, I think it's one of life's greatest challenges. Here's what John Sterling said. He said, "The worst education which teaches self-denial is better than the best which teaches everything else and not that." I'm not down on education, but come on, friends. What does most education from sandbox to a PhD, what does it educate a person to do? it doesn't educate them to deny themselves. The world is educating people and culturalizing people to look out for number one, best yourself at the expense of others, step on other people's hands who are on the rung of a ladder to climb up faster than them. You know the story. This guy wasn't inspired, but he could recognize a great truth that I think sums up. Here's another hard passage I think Paul made. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now that's what we're talking about, remember? We're talking about how we want to have the characteristics of a Christian, and that's the person that models themselves after Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. He starts out with that because transformation begins in the mind. That's where the renewing process begins. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God? But, regardless of who Jesus was, and what his title and what his real position was, he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant. And becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death and the death of the cross. Okay? This kind of verse kind of sums up what we've been talking about in this part of this topic. We're talking about a mindset that Jesus had that we have to learn to develop. It's not, I've said this, and I'll say that about most of these things that I'm going to teach and some of the other guys are going to teach. It's not a switch you flip. Okay? There are things that you learn. There are things that you learn. It's on-the-job training, and you may make some mistakes, but you get back up, and the Lord that we are accountable to forgives us, and we keep going on trying to imitate Him, do what He would do in the circumstances that we're in. Jesus was tempted in all points as we, yet was without sin. That's the challenge for the Christian, and that's where the self-denial helps the person to be equipped that in whatever points we are in, to recognize good and evil and make the right choice. Here was Jesus, the Son of God, left the portals of heaven and its glory and come down here and took the lowest form of human servitude that you could and had this mindset that was okay. You know why that was okay? That was okay because who he was serving. Okay? When it comes down to self-denial, what's too much to give up because of who we're serving? There's nothing too much to give up. Any other thoughts or comments? We're going to quit here. We're going to talk. We'll start beginning in Wednesday, Lord. We're going to talk about self-exaltation and some other things along the line of self-denial. Okay, I hope you've been challenged. Don, back here real quick. Andrew? Speak up, Don, please.
Our desires daily is a major problem. Do we desire the things of this world, or is our mind set on the next world? And we're bombarded daily. Every move we make by advertisement of the world, trying to entice us. Now, we can call that necessities of life or the devil at work. We're tempted. A battle is taking place with our choosing to submit in the love that Christ presented to us. How much do we really love what He did? And so it gets back to this desire thing. And do we desire everything we see? Just ask ourselves, look around what we have. Or is our mind, as you've just said, focused where it should be? We're just here for a short time. So that battle is waging. And he's a roaring lion out to devour us. So what is our desire? What's our will? We've been redeemed. We've been bought. We're not our own. So how much, I think you brought this out earlier in the lesson, how much are we concentrating our time? And this other preacher you talked about, how much are we evaluating ourselves every day on this very issue?
Thank you. We're going to have one more class in this subject Wednesday night on self-denial. Sunday a week, Kelly will be talking about pure from the world for two classes, Sunday and Wednesday. Characteristic of the Christian, pure from the world next Sunday and Wednesday. Thank you for being in class this morning.